We're going out today on a musical note, or beat. Baba Brinkman is a Canadian rapper who's recently gotten a lot of press over his latest album and one-man show. That's because Brinkman's throwing down rhymes all about climate change. I recently talked to him from his home in New York. You've rapped about the Canterbury Tales and evolution, and your latest is the Rap Guide to Climate Chaos. And in one of the songs, you say you could rap about anything, and climate change is about as, quote, unsexy a topic as anything I could imagine. So why a whole album devoted to climate change?
You mean besides the fact that it's an urgent existential crisis that humanity must tackle for us to continue developing as a civilization? I think the urgency factor is the main one. I kind of feel like it's important that people know about it, think about it, talk about it, and deal with it. But also, I think it's fascinating. Not just that it's happening, but the way people respond to it. And there's something about the human psychology around avoidance of the subject that I'm intrigued by. So, you know, I kind of joke about that in the record, that this is as unsexy a topic as anything I could imagine. And I love a good challenge, you know. So as an artist, if, you know, if I could make a record about this and make it fun, then that should tell you that I could, you know, do that with my eyes closed about any other subject, right?
You're talking about lots of different aspects of climate change throughout the whole album. The IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they assess climate change risks worldwide. And they're the title of one of your songs, and that has to be a first, I think, in the music world. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Chaos, refugee, stress, disease, extinction, disaster, IPCC. So be afraid. Very afraid, but we're not, despite what the scenarios say. And the effect of talking about it is visible yawning and occasionally changing our behavior microscopically.
And, you know, throughout the song, I kind of leave it on the table, like assuming the audience is going to know what IPCC stands for. And then at one point I go, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change formed in 1988 to get the science straight. And that's the sort of like I'm defining the term. I do kind of like how I, you know, the effect of like pronouncing it as being all sinister, but it's actually like this bureaucratic government UN body. It's not exactly like a horror show, but some of the signals about various scenarios that could play out under business as usual actually do look like a horror show. So,
yeah, wars, famine, disease. So is that song like a wake up call for people? What's the strategy for how you approach different aspects of climate change in the album? Because there is a lot of levity, but there also is some pretty dire stuff in there.
Yeah, I think I was trying to walk a tightrope between the doom and gloom disaster scenarios and the sort of bright side perspective that, you know, technology will solve it and human ingenuity and we're going to get through this together and don't worry about it. Because I think too much optimism and too much pessimism end up leading to complicity and people sort of throwing their hands up. And, you know, if it's optimistic, oh, great, I don't have to do anything, enjoy my life. And if it's pessimistic, oh, well, what's the point? We, you know, whatever we do won't matter because we're too far gone. So, you know, I was trying to, I guess, sort of mark out the extremes. And also, you'll probably have noticed listening to the album that not every song is entirely earnest. A lot of them are ironic or tongue-in-cheek. And I kind of hope that people are going to pick up on some of the subtleties and nuances and realize I'm playing with personas there.
For instance, if I write a rhyme trying to describe climate change and it's hot so it catches on, someone's gonna fly me someplace to perform it. And the appeal of that is enormous. It's not an option for me to turn down work for global warming, cause I make it hot. People say my rhymes are dope.
So how do you want people to receive your music, this album, listen to it at the gym, you know, take some kind of action as a result of what they're hearing? Who's the audience?
I think people who believe that they already know and care about climate change, but haven't necessarily thought it through to its necessary conclusions. I think people that are concerned about climate change, but don't support government legislated carbon pricing scenarios, you know, that's who I was hoping to reach. People who think that climate change is a hoax have already signed up to the idea that there's a massive international conspiracy, but there's a lot of people that, oh yeah, climate change is a problem. We should do something about that. You know, I bought a Prius last year, so I'm good. You know, so I kind of wanted to shock the sort of nominal progressive mentality with the record and make people realize that it's, you know, it's going to have to be more significant of a response than just a few token consumer changes.
Joseph Fourier was a Frenchman, a physicist and a mathematician. He discovered the fact that the atmosphere acts like a blanket for heat retention. The greenhouse effect first described in 1824.
You've described your raps as peer-reviewed, like academic journals. Did you really run your lyrics by climate scientists?
Yes, absolutely. And it was a climate scientist who first suggested that I do this record. His name is Stephen Picar, and he saw me do a show, I guess about 5 years ago, called The Rap Guide to Evolution. And he said, we need one of those for climate science. Do you think you could do that? So it took me a couple of years to get it together. But yeah, while I'm writing it, I'm reaching out to experts in the field, sending them copies of my lyrics and my script, and trying to get them to come back with any feedback or corrections or suggestions about how to tell the story as completely as possible and accurately as possible from a science perspective. Like, part of this gives me the ability to stand on a stage while I'm performing this stuff and be like, this is mainstream science I'm talking here. You know, you could take it up with me, or you could take it up with the IPCC. You know, I'm just basically representing the orthodox view, and surprisingly, it's pretty hardcore sometimes.
Okay, I confess I have a favorite track from The Rap Guide to Climate Chaos. It's a reference to the rapper Coolio's lyrics, but instead of a West Coast party don't stop, you say a fossil fuel party don't stop, and it made me laugh. So it made me wonder, who are your musical influences and who are your environmental influences?
You can hear in the record there's Tupac and Notorious B.I.G. and Jay-Z and Nas and De La Soul. That song Keep It Positive, the lyrics are almost entirely assembled from the titles of De La Soul albums and songs. And in terms of environmentalists, I mean, Naomi Oreskes' Merchants of Doubt is just staggering and a must read. And just to see the sort of depths of depravity that's gone on behind the scenes in terms of convincing people that they don't need to worry about climate.
There ain't no party like a fossil fuel party, cause the fossil fuel party don't stop. But if the fossil fuel party continues, the venue is gonna get too hot.
You live in the US, but you are from Canada originally. Is there a difference between how Canadians and Americans view climate change?
Well, I think Americans are a lot more skeptical of climate change. I think climate denial is a much bigger thing here. It's much more rare to meet someone in Canada who doesn't think climate change is happening or doesn't think it's going to be a problem. You know, but Canada is just left of the U.S. on lots of things. And if I dare say, ahead of the U.S. on lots of things. Things like gay marriage or access to healthcare or lots of things, you'll find that Canada's actually sort of figured it out first. So hopefully with the Trudeau government having just announced a national carbon price that's going to come into effect in 2018, the federal government is mandating that there needs to be a cost on pollution of the equivalent of $30 starting in 2018 per ton of carbon, and then it's going to rise up from there. Hopefully that is yet another thing that you can follow closely on Canada's heels with.
Would you take us out with a rhyme or a verse?
All right. Here's verse 2 from Fossil Fuel Ballers. Look at how we live in gangsta compared to horse and buggy days. Cranking up the air conditioner on muggy days. Not freezing to death in the winter. If energy consumption is a sin, I'm a sinner. Life is good. It's better than it used to be. Let the good times roll. Fossil fuels are cheap. That's how we stay hella major. Prosperity is the bomb. Player hater. And yet we somehow need to find a way to connect prosperity to lower emissions rather than higher emissions as it's been in the past. But that's my little statement of where we're at right now.
Well, Baba Brinkman, thank you so much for talking with me.
All right. My pleasure. Thank you.
Baba Brinkman is a rapper and performer, and there's more about his album, The Rap Guide to Climate Chaos, at our website, alleghenyfront.org.